The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we're doing it different today, doing a Thursday show, not something I normally do, but got a little busy yesterday on Wednesday, so ended up not doing a show on Wednesday, but that's okay. I decided I'll just go ahead and push it to Thursday. So before we begin today's show, I got to do something that I never thought I was going to have to do, but I got to do it, and that is I got to apologize to the Philadelphia Eagles fans, because on Monday's show, when I was recapping the weekend of football, I completely forgot to recap Sunday Night Football, in which the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely dominated the Miami Dolphins 31-17. So I got to apologize to Eagles fans, because I did not overlook that on purpose either. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I hate the fucking Eagles. The Eagles are my least favorite team on the face of this fucking planet. So it's not like I was trying to diss them and completely overlook the game. As a matter of fact, I really wanted to talk about the game. And then I realized when the show was over, I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter, and I happened to see a stat on AJ Brown, and I was like, oh, fuck. I completely forgot to talk about the Eagles game. And basically what happened was is usually where I copy and paste all the scores and stats from, I kind of went out of order of what I normally do. I went and looked at, because I wanted to put Myles Garrett's stats when I was talking about the Browns. I really wanted to talk about what he did. And so I ended up taking a sidetrack instead of copying, pasting Sunday Night Football. I just kind of took my sidetrack on Myles Garrett and then ended there and completely forgot to put Sunday Night Football there. So I'm sorry about that, Eagles fans, because we do got to talk about this game, because the Eagles just completely dominated the Dolphins, just like I expected them to do. As I was saying in last week's power rankings, I didn't really believe in the Dolphins, because I felt like when they go up against a really good team like the Eagles, this is what's going to happen. That's exactly what happened. I mean, defensively, the Philadelphia Eagles just really took it to Miami. They held them in check. They kept their ground attack in check. Tua wasn't really able to get anything going, and neither was Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, and it's not like either of them had a terrible game, but just overall, Philly's defense really just locked down their offense. And then finally, Philly did what we've basically been expecting them to do, is just go off offensively. Jalen Hurts had a big game. He went 23 for 31, 279 yards, two touchdowns, and a rush TD. And then, of course, A.J. Brown, this guy has been nuts. The last five games, he went off for 137 yards and a touchdown. So the Eagles just had an absolutely dominating game. And the Dolphins did what I kind of expected them to do. You know, they weren't able to get it going against a really good defense against the Buffalo Bills a few weeks ago. And I felt like that was going to happen this week against the Eagles. And the Eagles defense did exactly what I thought the Eagles defense was going to do. So that's how Sunday Night Football went down. Then Monday Night Football was another big surprise. The Minnesota Vikings in prime time. You know, prime time Kirk Cousins is usually a fail. Well, prime time Kirk Cousins showed up, and Brock Purdy ended up doing his best Kirk Cousins prime time impression, and he did not have a good game. The Vikings were able to hold on to the win 22-17. And talking about defense, the Vikings defense, they clamped it down on the Niners offense, and the Niners just offensively did not look good at all. The last couple of drives, Brock Purdy threw a couple of interceptions, and it just did not look good. And then Kirk Cousins, he actually did. He stepped it up when he needed to. He had a really solid game, 35 for 45, 378 yards, two touchdowns. Jordan Addison stepped in for... Jefferson, you know, he's out for a couple of weeks. So Addison, he stepped up in his place. He had 123 yards and two touchdowns. But Cameron Bynum, he was that dude. He had two interceptions on the night for the Vikings. So, as I said, overall, really solid game from the Vikings. And now the Niners have lost two games in a row. And there's a chance that Brock Purdy may actually not play this week because he wasn't taken out of the game, but he reported concussion-like symptoms after the game. So that could explain those last two interceptions. But, you know, so he may not be playing this week. But regardless, that's two losses in a row for the Niners. And to not very amazing teams. I mean, they lost to the Browns and the last week, and then this week they lose to the Vikings. And so we'll see what happens because they've got the Bengals coming to town this week. So let's move on to the Week 7 Top 10 NFL Power Rankings for the week. We do officially have a new number one because now that the Niners have lost two games in a row, I'm not saying it's panic time for them because, of course, they're still a damn good team. But, you know, right now, to me, the number one team in the league right now is the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 6-1, and they finally stepped it up offensively as I've expected them to be. You know, they've won a lot of ugly games to start the season, and then last week they lost to the Jets, and just offensively outside of A.J. Brown, it's been very, very bleak for them. But, I mean, they stepped it up this week, and so in my opinion, the Eagles now look like the most complete team, at least right now. A.J. Brown on the season has 809 yards and three touchdowns. And just one thing I want to touch on with the Eagles. I can't believe not only did I have to start the show off by apologizing to Eagles fans, but now I have to actually stick up for the Eagles and defend them right now. And what I'm going to defend them over is the what everybody's talking about right now, and that is the, quote, tush push. And if you don't know what that is, basically, the Eagles have mastered this. If they have 1 yard to go, basically what they do is they just stack the offensive line with every fat dude they've got. And then basically Jalen Hurts just takes a snap and just the guys behind him push him into the end zone or for the 1 yard. And they usually get it. I feel like, or not feel like, statistically, they've only missed it three times. Every other time, they are just money on it. And they've been talking about potentially taking this play out of the game. You know, they discussed it in the offseason, but they put it to the side. But they're still discussing it this season, and it may be something in the offseason they may want to try and get rid of. But here's the way I see it. The way I see it is you either, A, don't let the Eagles get that close, meaning don't give them only 1 yard. Don't let them get to the goal line. That's a good way to not allow the tush push to happen. But also, stop them. That's how you do it. You fucking stop them. And I know the Eagles are the best at it. That's why they are so successful at it. But if you don't want this play to happen anymore, fucking stop them. So I'm sorry, but I'm over all the fucking complaints about the tush push. Stop them. If you want them to stop it, you need to stop them. It's just, it's ridiculous to hear the fucking complaints about the, quote, advantage the Eagles have over people. And it's like I said, stop them. Now, and it's funny, too, because other teams try this exact same play and they fail at it. And the reason why is because the Eagles are just so goddamn good at it. I mean, they do have Jason Kelce, one of the best centers of all time. So it's just like, he's part of the play. And then, of course, you've got Jalen Hurts who can freaking, like, squat a million pounds. So the dude's just got an insane lower body. And so that's what really helps is they've got this great center and they've got this really unique quarterback who are just able to get it done. But the way I see it is, y'all see it on film every single week. So, hey, defenses, how about you start to figure out how to stop it? Or like I said, don't give them a yard. Don't let them go a yard because usually they don't do it when it's like 3 yards or further back. So just don't give them the yardage and they won't be doing it. So anyways, that's just my rant on that. So I know I almost feel like vomiting now because like I said, I had to start the show out by apologizing to Eagles fans. And now I just had to stick up for the fucking Eagles and they're number one on my list this week. Ugh, God, terrible. Anyways, let's move on to number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Kansas City Chiefs overall record of 6-1, and this team just, I mean, they're the defending Super Bowl champs. And Patrick Mahomes is just doing Patrick Mahomes things. He's got 2,017 yards on the season, 15 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, carrying the team, carrying the squad. As I've said, outside of Travis Kelce, he doesn't really have a solid receiver. He's just getting the ball to whoever he can, and they're just making the plays. Defensively, they look really good. But overall, just looking like a really solid team. So Chiefs keep on moving up. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 5-2. They just trounced the Detroit Lions this week. So obviously they had to move up. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, you really need to keep your eye on the Ravens because defensively they are stacked. And then Lamar Jackson, the guy is having an amazing season so far. He's got 1,610 yards through the air, 8 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And then on the ground, he's got 363 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. So the guy is getting it done and he's extremely accurate on the season. So really got to look out for the Ravens. This team, not a lot of people got their eye on them. I don't think a lot of people are taking them seriously, but I think they need to be taken seriously. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 5-2. You know, losing 2 games in a row, it sucks. To me, it doesn't mean that they're going to fall off the face of the planet. Of course, they're still a Super Bowl contender. These 2 losses are probably going to give them some things to work on and get right. But the thing that the Niners do have to start getting right, and it's actually a common theme for a Shanahan coach team, but they have a difficult time coming from behind. Once they get down, they actually do have issues coming back. So that's going to be something they're going to have to work on. But I mean, that's really the only issue you look at with the 49ers. They're still a damn good team and can't really drop them down any further than they are now. Now, if they lose to the Bengals this week, that's 3 in a row, then maybe they have a problem, but we'll see. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 5-2. They are coming off of that really bad loss, but they're still a very talented team. As I've stated numerous times, nobody was going undefeated this season, so usually you're going to suffer some losses, and they went up against a really good team in the Baltimore Ravens, so it's not like they lost to some terrible-ass team like the Browns, but they still are right there, still look like a good team, and I still expect them to be a contender throughout the season. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 5-2. They are getting it done defensively. They've got 13 sacks, 9 interceptions, and 8 forced fumbles on the season. Offensively, they're putting it together with Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence, and they are just looking like a solid overall, really good team, and they are on a 3-game winning streak right now. So Jaguars flying high. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 4-2. They're coming off of a bye week, so they didn't really do anything to move up, and they didn't really do anything to move down. So that's why they're at number 6 this week. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that I'm starting to really not believe in, the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 4-3. They aren't looking bad enough to drop out of the power rankings just yet, especially because these bottom teams, when you get to like 8, 9, 10 area, I really have to start thinking about things. So they aren't bad enough to drop out completely of the top 10, but they are starting to look less and less trustworthy every week. I mean, we're used to Josh Allen, you know, the crazy plays and everything, but the interceptions and the turnovers are starting to become a problem. But then, you know, that it's a lot on his shoulders as well. I mean, that offensive line wasn't blocking shit this last game. He was on his ass this last game. So the Bills, they might have some questions. Now, it's still early in the season, but they're in a tough division. And they just, and maybe, because, you know, they lost Milano a couple of weeks ago. And ever since they lost him defensively, they look different. You know, they were really, really stout with him all season long. In these last 2 games, they've looked very, very shaky. So that could be a reason why. But so far with the Bills, every single week, even in their wins, they're becoming less and less convincing of a championship level team. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Miami Dolphins. Overall record of 5-2. I mean, overall, you can't deny what this offense has done. But I keep telling you that defensively, there's a lot of questions. But also, when they go up against really good defenses, there's problems. So I feel like this team, until they actually beat a legitimate contender in dominating fashion, or at least just show me something, I can't really believe in them above some of these other teams. So while I do think the Dolphins are a very impressive team offensively, there's still a bunch of questions, and I still don't think they can beat any of the upper echelon teams. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings at the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 4-2. They are just a young and scrappy team. They're just all over the field. They, defensively, especially, they just look really good. Offensively, they are just getting the job done. Geno Smith has not lost a step from last year. I mean, I was kind of thinking last year was like a fluke season for Geno Smith. And so far, it's not looking like that. It's actually looking like he fits well with Pete Carroll. He fits well with this offense. You know, he's got DK Metcalf. And he's got Lockett, and then he's finding these other two rookie receivers over this past weekend. And then, of course, you've got Kenny Walker, the third back there at running back. So overall, the Seahawks are a very young and scrappy team. And while they may not be a championship-level team yet, they are still a really good team. And I kind of feel like, you know, like I said, the bottom half of this, like the usually at 10, is always like a really head-scratcher for me. And the Seahawks, I was comparing them to everybody else left that I had to round out my list, and they just they're just a pretty impressive team so far. Moving on to Thursday Night Football, tonight's matchup is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 7.5-point favorite. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have pretty much come back down to earth. They started off the season really hot, but I had a feeling they were just going to come back down to earth. I didn't think they were going to be a very competitive team. Now, granted, they are in a terrible division, so they don't really have to be that great of a team. They could probably go 9-7 this year and make the playoffs. They do have a really good defense, and then offensively, they can provide a spark, but it's just they don't really have much of an identity. And as I said with the Bills, there's a lot of questions with this team. Now, I do think they're coming off of this last loss, and I just kind of feel like the Bills are going to step it up. They are at home tonight, and the Buccaneers are not that good of a team. But, you know, the Bills, you just can't trust them. But I am going to go with the Bills tonight. I think they're going to step it up. I do think they're overall the better team. They're at home. I feel like they're coming off of this loss, and they're just going to bounce back. And I do think it's going to be a close game, though. I have the Bills winning 24-17. Moving on to college football and the AP Top 10 for this week. Not much of a major shakeup so far. We have a couple of teams moving up and down. But overall, the top five looks about the same as it's looked all season long. Beginning with, of course, number one, still Georgia, 7-0. No reason to move them down. They will be at Florida this weekend. Then at number two, we have Michigan. They're 8-0, so of course they're still there. And they are just absolutely dominating. They have a bye week this week, and they will be playing Purdue next week. By the way, I don't really care about this sign-stealing scandal that's going on with them. When you actually, the only people who care are people who hate Michigan and high and mighty media members, as per usual, or just crybaby-ass fans who just need something to complain about. When you actually listen to guys who used to play football, who currently play football, or are coach in the NFL and in college, none of them think this is a big deal, because they pretty much say everybody sign steals. It's something that everybody does. It's just you get caught. Now, I'm not saying if Michigan gets caught, they shouldn't get punished. Absolutely, they should get punished if there's some type of something that is actually found and they get punished, whoopty-fucking-do. But this whole high and mighty shit that always happens, because this happened too with the Patriots when they got in trouble for their sign stealing as well. I didn't care about that. I don't care about this. Get over yourselves, you fucking whiny-ass crybabies. And people only care about this because it's Michigan. If this was Oral Roberts, a nobody fucking college that nobody gives a fucking shit about. I really only threw Oral Roberts out there because they have the word oral in there. But if it was them, nobody would give a shit. But since it's Michigan, everybody's giving a shit. So don't expect me to really go in depth on any of that because I really couldn't give two shits and a fuck. I'll update you when Michigan gets the slap on the hand, and if they end up winning the national championship this year, then that might get revoked, but we all know they won the national championship if that were to happen. But they are still at number two, and that's because they are one of the best teams in the league. Then at number three, we have Ohio State. They are still undefeated at 7-0, and they took it to Penn State this week, so they still got to be up there, and they will be at Wisconsin this weekend. Then at number four, we have Florida State. They're still undefeated at 7-0. They will be at Wake Forest this weekend. Then at number five, we have Washington. They're still 7-0. They did just barely sneak out a win against Arizona State, but they still are undefeated, so who cares? They will be at Stanford this weekend. Then at number six, Oklahoma. They are still undefeated. Unfortunately, they just got by UCF this weekend. They will be at Kansas this weekend. And then my Texas Longhorns moving on up another spot. They are at number seven. They just barely got by Houston, as a matter of fact, this weekend, 31-24. And this past weekend, I mean. And then this Saturday, they will be playing BYU. Then at number eight, we have Oregon. They are 6-1. They will be at Utah this weekend. So that's going to be a big one because Utah is ranked at number 13 right now. Then at number nine, Alabama came charging back. They are 7-1 on the season, and they will be playing. They have a bye this week, and they will be playing LSU next week. And then rounding out the AP top 10 this week, we have Penn State, just because they did lose to Ohio State, so they were going to take a tumble. Whoever lost was taking a tumble, and so it ended up being Penn State. And they will be playing Indiana this week. So that is the AP top 10. And, you know, not going to talk a lot of baseball just because the World Series begins tomorrow. So we will talk World Series tomorrow, a matchup that I bet nobody had, the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Texas Rangers. So we will get more in depth on that and the rest of week 8. So I will talk to you fools tomorrow.